chapter 5. We've been looking at last several weeks the raising of the daughter of Jairus. Matthew and Luke also record this event, this miracle. We will read from Mark's account and we'll refer to the others as well. But in verses 21 through verse 24, and when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. Behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. There's an interruption, of course. We pick up again in verse 35. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered or permitted no man to follow him, save Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn, but when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, and entereth in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand, and said unto her, Talitha cumi, which is being interpreted, Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. He charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. As we've already seen on the way to the house of this ruler of the synagogue, he, of course, was anxious to get to his house because his daughter was at the point of death, and we see that there were some interruptions, there were some distractions, there was the thronging multitude, which certainly slowed everything down. There was the woman with the flow of blood, and that, of course, brought everything to a halt. For how long, we don't know, but I don't believe it was a real short amount of time, but everything came to a halt. Then, of course, there was the distressing news from the house of Jairus, Thy daughter is dead. And the words that followed were words of defeat. Why troublest thou the master any further? And I believe those words also indicate the people's attitude. They weren't all that thrilled that he went to Jesus in the first place. And so comes this question, why troublest the master any further? These interruptions, these distractions were for the testing of the faith of Jairus. And the purpose of testing faith is to strengthen it. And we certainly see his faith was tested. We see that his faith was strengthened as well. Notice in the book of James, chapter 1, in verse 3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh or leads to patience. word patience there can also be translated endurance. But the trying of our faith worketh, results in something. What this is saying is that the trying of our faith is beneficial. It's beneficial. It's beneficial to us. It's beneficial to our faith. It should strengthen our faith. The testing of our faith shows us or reveals where we are in faith. And then, of course, the purpose is to strengthen that faith. Notice in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. 1 Peter 1, verse 6 and verse 7. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, and again we've called attention to those words before, if need be, speaks of a necessity, ye are in heaviness. So sometimes it is necessary that we be in heaviness. If need be, ye are in heaviness. This heaviness comes through manifold or diverse temptations, and that's not talking about the solicitation to sin, but talking about testings. It comes from a variety of testings. Then in verse 7, that shows that the heaviness and the manifold temptations have a purpose. They have a purpose. That or so. So that the trial of your faith, again, the heaviness that comes through the variety of testings, this is the trial of our faith. This is the trial of our faith, and it is much more precious than of gold. That is, it is more beneficial to you than if someone were to come up to you and give you money. It's more beneficial to you. Now, there aren't many people that believe that. They, very, very, very few. But this is what the Bible says, that there are times when it is absolutely necessary for us to be in heaviness. Why? Because God knows where we would go if we weren't in heaviness. He knows where our will would take us. This heaviness comes through a variety of temptations. It is referred to as the trial of our faith. And this testing of our faith is more precious than of gold that perisheth, implying that this testing of our faith has eternal value, where gold simply has temporal value. Though it be tried with fire, again, that speaks of the severity of the trial, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, which is yet future. So he's talking about faith growing, faith increasing. And the way God does this is through trials. You remember the apostles, after Jesus spoke a parable, they said, increase our faith. Increase our faith. Well, the way that faith is usually, not always, but the way that faith is usually strengthened is through trials, is through the testing of faith, through heaviness, through manifold temptations. But we ought to pray. We ought to pray that God would increase our faith, seeing the value, it's more precious than of gold. So we ought not be afraid to pray that God would strengthen our faith. So this ruler of the synagogue, his faith, no doubt, was being tested. And after the news had come in verse 35, thy daughter is dead. That's a word of hopelessness. I mean, this is why Jairus was seeking Christ, was so that he would heal his daughter, that she would live. And he made that plain in his request. He said, heal her that she shall live. Notice in verse 23, that she may be healed and she shall live. He had faith that Christ was able to heal her, and in doing so, save her life. And now, as they're on their way to the house, this message of hopelessness comes. Thy daughter is dead. And then there is, following that, the words of defeat. Why troublest thou the master any further? Following those words, following the news that his daughter was dead, and following those words, why troublest the master any further? Jesus spoke to Jairus. Because no doubt Jesus could see, and he knew the heart of Jairus, but he could see the disappointment in Jairus with that news. You can imagine what that news would do. But in verse 36, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, and there were two parts of that, the daughter is dead, and then why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid. Obviously, he could see that he was afraid, that he was fearful. I believe at this moment, the faith of Jairus began to waver. But as soon as his faith began to waver, Jesus spoke to him, be not afraid. And then he gave him the solution to fear. Only believe. Only believe. It's not be not afraid, believe. It is, be not afraid, only believe. Now you think about it. What else could Jairus do? He couldn't bring his daughter back to life. There wasn't a plan B here. He would either go into despair or he would believe. So Jesus said, only believe. And there are times, and these are good times, there are times when that's all you can do, is only believe. There are times when you can't fix it. Only believe. Now, the large majority of God's people, those who profess to be saved, have a real problem with only believe. I'll believe, but Lord, what else? What else? I got to do something. Jesus said, only believe. It's all you can do at this moment. Only believe. Now, there are times, of course, the Lord instructs us what to do in addition to. But here the instruction was only believe. And I believe when he spoke those words to Jairus, his faith was strengthened. And I believe when Jesus spoke those words to Jairus, there was a peace. There was a calmness. There was a contentment that came over Jairus, that overflowed his soul. And that's where this peace, and that's where this calmness and contentment comes from. It comes from believing. Believing. Just believe. Only believe. So, his faith was strengthened. Peace comes over him. And we see that they arrive at the house. They arrive at the house. Notice in verse 37, he, Jesus, permitted no man to follow him save Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. He took with him Jairus, and the mother of the daughter would be in the house as well, as we'd see later. But he took Peter, James, and John. There were a multitude. The apostles was there. Matthew was there. He recorded it. Luke was there. He recorded it. Mark was there. He recorded it. But there were three: Peter, James, and John. And even though John was brought into the house, John did not record this event. So these three were privileged in a way that the others were not: Peter, James, and John. This doesn't mean that Peter, James, and John were the best of the apostles. Does not mean that they were any better than the others. But this isn't the only occasion that these three were privileged to hear and see things that the others were not. It's grace. Notice in Matthew chapter 17, we have the record of the transfiguration. And after 6 days, verse 1, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart. And he was transfigured. He was unveiled in his glory before them. Only Peter, James, and John had this privilege. And God still operates that way. He gives certain ones, not because of anything in them, just because he pleases to do so. He gives certain ones special privileges. Special privileges to see things that the others did not see. That was the case here. Here in Mark 5, he brings Peter, James, and John. Verse 38 of Mark chapter 5. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue. So Jesus, the one who could change everything, is now in the house. Jesus, the one who is greater than sickness, greater than death, he has arrived. He comes to the house of the ruler of the synagogue. And it was a scene of helplessness. It was a scene of great sorrow. In Matthew chapter 9 and verse 23, Matthew refers to the minstrels, or the singers, and the people making a noise. Doesn't say they were singing. It says that they were making a noise. Mark and Luke describe that noise. Mark writes that when they came into the house, notice in Mark 5 and verse 38 again, and seeth the tumult. Within that house there was an uproar. There was a commotion. There was bedlam. And seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed or howled greatly. This was a scene of sorrow. Luke records in Luke 8 verse 52, and all wept and bewailed her, or lamented her. But Jesus has arrived. Jesus has arrived at the house. Jesus has come to the place. And all through the Gospels, we find Jesus going to places of distress. We find Jesus going to places of loneliness and sorrow and anguish. And he would go to these places and he would bring comfort and assurance that only he could bring. And here it is again. He comes upon a scene of distress. He comes upon a scene of death and sorrow and anguish. But by the time he left, everything was different. Everything changed. No one else could do what Jairus did that day. So notice, Christ performs a miraculous work. Verse 39, when he was come in, he saith unto them, why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they began to, they're no longer weeping, they're now laughing, which again shows their attitude toward Christ. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father, which is Jairus, and the mother of the damsel, the wife of Jairus, and them that were with him, Peter, James, and John, and entereth in where the damsel was lying. He goes to the part of the house where this girl was lying upon the bed. And Matthew says in Matthew 9 and verse 25, and also here in Mark 5 verse 41, and he took the damsel by the hand. Matthew and Luke record that he touched her. So there was the touch of Jesus Christ. This is, we see Jesus entering the house. Now we see Jesus coming into contact with the one who needed the miracle. He took her by the hand. There was the spoken word of Jesus Christ. Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. So there was the touch, there was contact, there was the spoken word of Christ. Again, this is a picture of salvation. And there was life imparted. Notice again in verse 41, I say unto thee, arise. And we see in Luke 8, notice verse 55, Luke 8 verse 55, as a result of the touch, as a result of the spoken word, and her spirit came again. That's life imparted. Life has now been imparted. She's dead. Now she's alive. Life has been imparted by the touch and by the word of the Lord, showing that the touch and the word of the Lord was effectual. Life being imparted, there was now a manifestation of that life. Verse 42, and straightway the damsel arose, she got up. That shows a manifestation of life. A miracle has taken place. But she did more than just got up. It says that she arose and walked. She began to walk. Now, it may have been several days that she was sick and couldn't walk. But now she's alive. She sits up in bed. She gets out of the bed and she walks. The manifestation of life. So we see there was an increase in this manifestation. She arose. That's one aspect. She walked.
That's even a greater manifestation. And then it says that Jesus commanded them to give her something to eat. And she ate. Even further manifestation that she was alive. And that's how it should be with the child of God. There ought to be more and more and more manifestation that life has been imparted. So there was the manifestation of the life imparted. Matthew says in Matthew 9 verse 25, the maid arose. Mark says that she arose and walked. Luke says she arose straightway. The result of this in Mark 5 verse 42, and they were astonished, that is, they were staggered with great astonishment or amazement. A miracle of life had taken place. Again, a picture of salvation. In closing, Matthew, Mark, and Luke all draw us this picture of Jesus and Jairus walking together. They are walking toward his house. But there's a lesson here. Jesus and Jairus are walking together. And what was the result of that? The result of that was that the faith of Jairus was strengthened. Walking with Jesus will strengthen your faith. Not only that, the resolve of Jairus was strengthened. There is a big difference between when Jairus first came to Jesus and when the news came, thy daughter is dead. And Jesus spoke to Jairus, and that strengthened his resolve. So by walking with Jesus, the faith and resolve of Jairus was strengthened. Just walking with him. And again, there's a valuable lesson there. We see also walking with Christ, having his faith and resolve strengthened, Jairus brought Christ into his home. Jairus brought Christ into his home. How do we do that? You know, a lot of people say we want Christ in our home. The problem is they don't walk with him throughout the day. If you want Christ in your home, you're going to have to walk with him throughout the day. And then he'll dwell with you in your home. That is, you walk with him throughout the day and you bring him home with you. Jairus brought Christ into his home. And guess what? That home was blessed with the presence of Jesus Christ. All the blessing that came upon that home that day. Miraculous things happened in that home. Christ made a difference in that home. But it all began with Jairus going to Christ on behalf of his daughter, and then walking with Christ in the presence of scoffers. Walking with Christ, and in doing so, he risked all because he was a ruler of the synagogue. But he willfully walked with Christ. He took his place beside Christ. He brought Christ into his home. And oh, what a difference it made. So again, there's much to be gathered from this miracle. There's much to be gathered from all the miracles of Christ. So many different ways that we can make application to our own lives. You can make application to the lost sinner. You can make application to all the saints of God as well. Let's look to the Lord.